Thanks for tuning in. This is Building the Movie List, and my name's Evan, and this week we are doing Buster Keaton's The General. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Matthew Molina.
What's up?
Matt, can you give me your best Buster Keaton impression?
It was amazing.
Great.
So good.
And I'm also joined by Gabby Ferreira.
Hello.
And Chase Higa.
How's it going?
How you guys doing? I'm good.
Yeah. Pretty good. We just keep asking each other that question.
Yeah.
Are we really okay? How are we doing?
I'm concerned.
Very good. Where did that bruise come from?
Oh, I don't know. I was trying to do stunts like Buster Keaton.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
He's a professional.
A bad idea to try to do those.
Try the stuff you see in The General.
Like join the Confederate Army?
Also,
yeah,
do not
join the Confederate Army. Well, I don't know. In this movie, they win.
Yeah, they sure.
So yeah,
they didn't win in real life.
So yeah, I think when I heard the title was The General, I assumed it was like about a general, but the general is the train in the movie,
and one of the two great loves of Buster Keaton's life.
Well, yeah, one of the first title card is
character.
His great love is the train and a lady. Does anybody want to sum up what this movie is about?
A train and a lady.
Yeah. So basically, Buster Keaton tries to join the Confederates and he's denied. And because he's a train engineer and he's too valuable, and then the Union soldiers steal his train and his lady, and he tries to get them back. That's basically
the
plot of the movie. And hijinks ensue. This movie, from what I heard about Buster Keaton, I was expecting a lot of just kind of gag after gag. But this is like really just a complete movie, I would say. It's like it's a full journey, and I was really surprised by it, honestly.
Yeah, it's the audiences at the time were also expecting, oh, it's a Buster Keaton movie, gag after gag. And then it's like, oh, this is like a real movie. So
it did not do well initially. And it was a very expensive movie
at the time.
Yeah. It's the Waterworld of its day.
Yeah. But since then, it's been garnered as kind of his best movie and like one of the best movies of all time. But yeah, from the 1920s, there's a few movies on this list. Charlie Chaplin. Mostly it's Charlie Chaplin, The Kid.
Gold Rush.
The Gold Rush. Yeah. Yep, you got that. And then a movie called Metropolis and The Passion of Joan of Arc.
Isn't The Great Dictator on there? But maybe
that's a little later. That might even be like 40s
or 50s, right?
Yeah.
I thought The Great Dictator was 1930s.
It might be late.
Might be
1930s.
It was like one of his only speaking roles.
Because he does that like really great speech at the end. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, it was satire and Hitler rising to power at the time.
Yeah.
So he called
really
it.
On the
he
nose.
He called that.
Yeah. I feel like I want to say that was late 30s. I might be wrong.
That sounds about right.
Because didn't he get like extradited, or he fled, and then he like lived in Europe for a long time
following the general, whatever that movie was. It was. I watched a Chaplin movie with Robert Downey Jr. So I think that. So I'm pretty much an expert.
So you're the Charlie Chaplin expert.
Decades of research. Yeah.
Well, I guess what he would like go to Europe every summer for like 3 months or something like that, and then like there's some kind of lawsuit or something like that. The United States government didn't like him. Something like that about, like, you know, he was a commie or something like that.
Oh, that would have been the 50s.
Yeah, he was
the Red Scare.
Yeah, it was like way later.
Yeah,
when
Joseph
like,
McCarthy and all that.
Yeah, so they basically, once he went to Europe, they basically said, oh, you
don't
just can't.
Come back.
Yeah, don't come back. So he basically stayed in Switzerland or wherever his place was.
I think it was Switzerland.
Until like the 1980s when he got his like honorary Oscar. Like, that was the first time he came back to America.
He didn't do a Roman Polanski where they just have a video of him accepting it. And he's just like, well, I can't be there because, you know, I'm busy.
For reasons.
No.
Yeah. For rapey reasons.
Yeah. No reason. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he got screwed on a paternity case.
Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie Chaplin, yeah, yeah. He would like sleep with like tons of Hollywood actresses, you know, back in the day. And I guess one of them got pregnant afterwards. And she said, like, oh, this is his kid. And basically through DNA testing, they were just like, yeah, it's not his kid. But her lawyer somehow said, like, yeah, but he has all this money. And this is a little kid. And he should, like, pay for that.
Kids cost money.
So, like, somehow the court jury just ruled, like, yeah, he should pay for that kid's upbringing. And I guess it changed all laws after that because they were like, this should never happen. You know? Like, so, yeah, it shouldn't be, like, predatory things. But we're talking about Buster Keaton here.
Yeah, not Charlie
Chaplin. That's Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, so I, going to this movie, I honestly didn't really know much about Buster Keaton.
Not even
at
like,
all.
Like a slight bit?
No. I obviously have heard of Chaplin. He's just like such kind of a staple of modern culture. You kind of just know who Charlie Chaplin is. But Buster Keaton, in preparation for this podcast, I found a lot of stuff from him and realized how awesome he is and all these crazy stunts that he would do and
how influential he was.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So yeah, he does some crazy stuff in this movie. And he co-directed this movie with Clyde Bruckman. I think he is pretty much credited for directing most of his movies.
Did he write it too?
I do not. No, this is based off of...
it's based off a book.
It's based off a memoir. Based off a book.
The Great Locomotive Chase.
Yep.
Chase, or is it
It's
heist?
A chase. It's a chase.
You should have known that, Chase.
Yeah, come on, Chase. It's your name. I'm going to start calling you the Great Locomotive.
I did read that he... instead of making the heroes Union guys, he made them the Confederates because he's like, no one's going to believe the Union were the good guys or something like that. Just what? Like,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. We were talking about that earlier. Just before.
Wait, what? I don't understand that.
Okay, so what Chase is saying is he thought that they did a switcheroo in the movie where they made the heroes...
The Southerners.
The Confederates versus, I guess, in the book, it was the Union heroes or the Union soldiers were the heroes.
Why would nobody believe that?
But I think it must have been just because Birth of a Nation had come out semi-recently. Like so people were all about, like,
the
I don't know.
Confederacy.
Revisionist history. I don't know. Speaking as a native Southerner, I found it a little weird to watch the Confederates portrayed in a good light.
Yeah, I guess in the book, it's like two guys who like steal the train from the Southerners and like try to bring it back up north so like they can rally with the Union guys, but then they get caught and executed. So Buster Keaton was like, well, that's not really a comedy. I'm going to take that part out.
That's kind of funny, but we can go funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing that it's that he's the hero and he's a Confederate, but it really doesn't like get into anything. Any of like the politics of the war or anything.
It's, right.
And there's it's no blackface, like, which is
yeah. Yeah, that was good for the time.
Adds to its longevity.
It felt less like a story about the war between the states than it did as a story of like there's good guys and there's bad guys and also trains and train chases. And like that felt it like was, more the point of the movie.
It seemed much more of like a love letter to trains to me.
Oh, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And I think in looking at this that Buster Keaton was very
into trains,
basically.
Hell yeah.
And the history of trains. And you could tell that watching this movie, it's very like lovingly put together.
It's like Fast and Furious with trains.
I was thinking Mad Max.
They had some great stunts with these trains, man. I mean, like it has just this iconic scene of where you just see like the train going over the bridge and like the bridge just collapsing and the train going in. And it's just like, that's a real train.
Yeah.
and I guess they just left it there until like World War II when they needed metal.
That shot, that scene was the most expensive scene in silent film history.
Really?
Oh, it had to be.
It was like...
30,000 at the time.
I think it was like 52,000. Yeah. 42,000.
42,000.
And yeah, the film budget was like 750,000 at the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which, boy, like, and this movie is like almost a century old at this point. Mm-hmm. It came out in 1926, which I was just really impressed by this film because it seemed very modern to me. And a lot of I found like a lot of interesting shots in this movie. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't before this movie, I hadn't actually sat down and watched a full silent film, or at least anything from like this era. How about you guys? Have you got, what are you guys going into this movie?
I saw a couple of Buster Keaton silent movies on YouTube, and I think one of them was the cop. It's called Cops, I think, or but it's just like, it's like 40 minutes long, and it's just full of gags. There's so many gags where it's just like he's going up something, but the cop's trying to get him through the ladder, and the ladder's like hitting the cop in the face. He's like, he'll like hide in a mailbox. He does all these crazy things. And it's just like so much fun to watch, because like every second is just like, it's like gag after gag, just like joke after joke. And it just, it's just like, oh man, that's awesome. I'll watch another one, you know?
And then you watch The General and you were like,
when I was watching The General, I was just like, what is this? I think I could just imagine like being like just a regular person trying to go watch this movie.
Wait, this isn't the Buster Keaton I know.
Yeah. Well, if you ever watch this great YouTube clip, it's called Every Frame of Painting. And it's called The Art of the Gag. And it's all about Buster Keaton and why he was like one of the greatest, probably the greatest silent film comedian of all time next to Chaplin. It just shows like everything he does and like how he like set up every gag. And it's like sometimes the gags won't work, so he'll do something more even crazier. The main thing with the, I guess, silent movies back then, they used to have a ton of like the place cards, or the, what do you call those?
The,
you know, where the text is on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, the,
I forget what it's called. Yeah,
place cards. Placards.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Cards.
He was, he wanted to do as little of those as possible.
Yeah. Because I guess they said like the normal silent movie would have 250 of those. And he said like the most I ever had was 56.
Yeah.
So, and then The General, this is like an hour and 10 minute movie. I don't think there was more than 30.
That was something I was very aware of, is how few title cards there were. Because every time I would see somebody say something, I kind of like geared up for a title card, and then it would just keep going. And I was like, oh, I mean, I guess I guess I could tell that he said forward men, but I wanted to see it on screen.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to know like how much faster I am a reader than the people in 1927. Because you just like read it and you're just like, all right,
wait
like
for
it's
a
been
second.
Forever.
Get going here.
Right. Always makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. And like, modern stuff, they like put some text on screens, like a paragraph. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't get through all that.
They did have like one or two like place cards where it was just like full of text, and like there's always this running clock in my head, like just like, okay, I gotta read this fast, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I came in knowing a little bit about Buster Keaton, but like this is the first time probably like the third movie I've seen of his. So
is your first time watching The General?
Yeah. I've seen some of his gags in this movie. Or like just iconic shots, like you probably seen in like other things, just ran up like the train falling down.
I definitely saw the train falling down.
That before. And him sitting on like the railroad tie when the train starts going, and just like just really deadpan.
Yeah,
yeah.
He just doesn't move a muscle, and
he's great with his emotions. Just like you can just tell with like how he makes faces, like what you were supposed to feel. And I guess that was probably like he was like a great mime. Watching it back then.
Yeah, I read Ebert's review, and he said that that's probably the reason why he's still kind of talked about, whereas Charlie Chaplin is kind of remembered but not talked about as much. Because Charlie Chaplin was like a full-on clown, whereas Buster Keaton always had the straight face while doing funny stuff, which makes
it
funnier.
He was very exaggerated, and I feel like Buster Keaton's really subtle with a lot of things.
Yeah, he's like understated, but yet you can feel his emotions.
Yeah.
I
thought he was really good, like, in expressing a lot of stuff,
because I guess with Chaplin, like if you watch his stuff, he's flailing his arms around when he does stuff, like in The Kid, or just like, you know, like Keaton like uses his body in like specific ways,
very precise.
Like his deadpan is amazing.
That was a great deadpan.
Yeah, when he's just sitting on the railroad ties, like you can tell like he's sad, and just like, and him just going on a train, it's just like, it's so crazy, but yet it's just like you can just tell that's a sad guy.
I just like there's a few I think one time when there's like a train in front of him, and then he like looks away, and then the train's gone when he turns back, and he just like blinks a few times.
Oh yeah.
And I laughed out loud. He's just blinking in disbelief. Like, where did that
Yeah, just go? Great. Just great. Like, it's like a Bugs Bunny bit. Just like, oh, there's nothing underneath my feet. Oh God, I need to run. What about you, Gabby? Did you know Buster Keaton before this?
So I had heard the name before it went on hiatus. I used to listen to You Must Remember This, which is a podcast about like old Hollywood. So I had listened to a few episodes about Buster Keaton. And the thing that really that I remembered and that I took away from that was like Buster was a nickname and they called him that because he used to like, when he was a kid, like coming up in vaudeville, like he used to just like run around like a crazy person and like bust his ass. And so everyone's like, Busta.
Oh, what's his real name?
It's like something Francis.
Did I write
it's like that John down? Francis.
I just assumed Busta was his real name.
Joseph I did too. Francis yeah. Keaton.
Yeah. Okay. It was
yeah. I did write it down.
Because old people have like crazy names. I was just like, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Buster and Gertrude.
Yeah. Well, Gertrude is actually the family member that I was named for.
Did anybody watch Amazing Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Is that on the list?
No.
Oh, man.
But I just remember that movie, yeah. the Goose.
Gertrude.
Sorry.
Yeah. So. So my experience with silent film was, I never really had a lot of it. I've seen that one movie that is or was on Netflix for a period of time. The one where like the rocket shoots into the moon's eye.
Oh,
you know, that really famous scene. I cannot remember.
The Marx Brothers?
It's like Journey to the Moon or Trip to the Moon.
Is it Marx Brothers?
No, it's like a French movie. Yeah, so I've seen that and I loved that one. And then when I was a kid, I used to go, I had a friend whose parents like had a ton of old movies like on tape and all that good stuff. So we watched like a bunch of movies from the 30s, and I'm pretty sure there were some silent films mixed in there. And I have very fuzzy memories of like seeing title cards. And I was like, why are these here? But yeah, I think this was really the first Buster Keaton movie I've ever seen. Although, you know, like we've already talked about, like I've seen stills from it before. I've seen like the train falling into the river and all that good stuff. But yeah, I think the thing that really struck me watching this about Buster Keaton versus somebody like Charlie Chaplin, he reminded me a lot of like a ballet dancer, just in how tightly controlled his movements were and just like the way that he was strategizing. And he was so graceful too. Like throughout the movie, I was really struck by like just how graceful he was, like in all of his stunts.
He's a small guy because he looked kind of small.
He looked really small to me.
Yeah. There's the part at the beginning where he's signing up to get in the army, and then there's the guy like right next to him that's like a foot taller. Oh, I know he got like an extra tall guy to do that, but just to make him seem extra small. But
yeah,
like just I was really impressed just watching him just zip around that train.
Oh, yeah.
I also assumed that he would be kind of more. He is bumbling in the movie, but he's like really capable, and he clearly like knows how to work this train.
Didn't look that complicated. It's just like you got three levers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got one lever. If a woman could do it, I could do it.
Oh my goodness!
Is it the steam train? Like, because like they had to get water, and I was just trying like, what the hell is the water for?
This was the first time because I've always seen that in like old Western,
I know,
like,
right?
Movies and games.
Yeah,
and
you're like, what is this water thing for?
This is the first time where it like clicked to me. It's like, oh, it's a steam engine. Where does the steam come from, dummy?
I think the part that I found really funny was when, like, they tell him he can't enlist, and then he, like, goes back in line with, like, his hat kind of cocked over his eyes, like, and, like, the range of emotions on his face is just, and, like, the way he's kind of like, oh, I'm not the same person who was just here, and it just really cracked me up.
Yeah.
exactly. It's like, oh.
And now, wait a minute.
Yeah, I thought his motivation at the beginning was just, like, oh, his girlfriend's like dad and brother like joining the army, and she's just like, why don't you do that? He's like, yeah, I'll think about it.
So give me
good.
A second.
It's kind of like when you have there's an awkward conversation, so you're trying to like make yourself as small as possible so like, no one sees you. Okay, I don't want to be part of this army. What about you, Matt? What did you know about Buster Keaton before this?
Well, for Buster Keaton, the only two points of reference I had before this were, the very first one, which I wasn't even aware of who it was. He has a small but funny role, and a funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Buster Keaton?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, cool.
He's the guy who has to run around the mountains like seven times as an excuse for Pseudolus to take over his house for a while.
How old's that movie?
It's from the 60s.
This was a colory talky picture.
Yeah, like unlike Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton went on to be in a lot of stuff after like the silent film era.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because Chaplin was like exiled to Europe for after the '50s or during the Red Scare or whatever.
That would have been '50s.
I do remember Buster Keaton was in Sunset Boulevard. He was just like a little cameo.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard.
I love Sunset Boulevard. I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah. You know, like the bridge game that Elaine Desmond has.
Yeah,
like, she has all the these Hollywood stars. I think they're all like big Hollywood stars, and one of them is Buster Keaton.
Oh no, kidding! I'll have to go back and watch that again. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
That's I love that movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember the part, but I know he's in a mad world.
He's in which
part was he again?
I don't know, but I just saw that he was credited on that.
Oh my god, that's
one of Matt's favorite movies.
Oh really? Yeah, that's one of my favorite. that's
in your 100.
Absolutely, yeah.
it's a really good
along
movie.
Along with The Happening.
The Happening for different artistic reasons.
Yeah,
it's almost
it's
like
a great movie, Mad World.
Oh my god, that's killing me. I wish I.
We're gonna have to watch it again.
Yeah,
we'll try to find them
because it has the Three Stooges in it, but they're in like a bit part. Like they don't even have a speaking role in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than a Mad World, which I didn't even realize he was in. yeah, it was pretty much that Every Frame of Painting video. That and. A funny thing happened though on the way to the forum where my two major points of reference. And as for like silent films that I'd seen, when I was in film school, community college.
That's right, you were a film student.
Yes, I've gone to that same prestigious one.
prestigious community
I
university.
I took over 4 credits.
And they all transferred.
Yeah. I've written about Fight Club in 3 different movie classes.
Wow. Oh my god, that's too many times to write about Fight Club.
It's a lot.
Well, you're not supposed to talk about Fight Club.
It is very deep, okay.
Nobody talks about Fight Club.
Yeah.
It's deep when you're in high
school. Yeah, Brad Pitt just punched me when I turned in my paper.
Was it me?
Oh, God.
The first time I watched Fight Club, I was 18, and I was the perfect age to watch Fight Club.
Yeah.
Me a lot of D. Because I could talk about Fight Club.
That's what the boys were after.
Yeah. Stupid girl. Oh, she likes Fight Club? I guess she's fine.
Yeah.
I guess I'll sling her some D.
Oh my god, it wasn't like that.
I'm sure it was.
That's how you just said it.
Whatever. I've been drinking this nice little glass of wine for a bit. I'm feeling great. I have had more than 2 sips, sir.
Do I have to let girls know I've watched 2 Weeks Notice?
Yes.
And, like, Notting Hill.
I've never seen 2 Weeks Notice, so I'm the wrong girl for that target.
That's just an adorable movie.
Notebook is all you need.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. To watch The Notebook.
So Matt watched The Notebook for the first time with me, and I looked over at the end and just tears rolling down his face.
Matt?
Yes.
It's been...
it was a good... It's a very emotional ending.
A constant stream of pussy sense.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
And he just looked at him. I was like, "Are you crying?" And he was like, "No."
I just imagine Matt was just watching the beginning of Up on his phone. He was just like, "Yeah, they can't have a baby."
Yeah. Oh boy.
Well, yeah, because they're dead and old.
But also, she all had right, fertility problems. We're getting off topic. Yeah. It's not about Buster Keaton.
But
continue.
But yeah, I'd seen like the Lumiere brothers, like first like
I had
documentary.
Seen that. I didn't know that.
Like basically a documentary on filmmaking, and then I had also seen Nosferatu.
I've seen Nosferatu.
Yeah, it's like it's not that long, so it's worth watching.
Yeah.
The Lumiere brothers was pretty interesting to watch. Nosferatu was kind of a little bit of a drag, other than just kind of. The key scenes,
the aesthetic of
the vampire, Willem Dafoe,
Willem Dafoe.
I mean, it's pretty cool that they got a real vampire for Nosferatu.
Yeah. I know,
it's crazy.
They went straight to Transylvania,
straight to the source.
Well, I think that's a movie.
That's a movie.
Where they're just like
Shadow of a vampire.
Yeah, where they're like, no, it's a real vampire. It's like, yeah, they got a good guy. I never thought a vampire could look like that, but yeah, I can kind of see it.
Yeah. That's believable. Yeah.
But yeah, like everybody else in the world, it seems, I was expecting like just gag after gag. But I was like, oh no, it's just like a cool little action movie about trains and ladies.
Yeah, I felt like it was more of like an adventure movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I saw a lot of almost Indiana Jones in it, where he's getting into these these bad luck situations where like things go wrong and he has to get his way. Like he, like Indiana Jones doesn't do everything perfectly, but he's still is overcome.
There's great slapstick bits in this movie where it's just like he's got the like the wood and he's just like chucking it in and he knocks out a guy. You know? Where it's like that's always a great comedy bit where just like all of a sudden you just see a knocked out guy, you're just like, well, yeah, whatever. It's like Back to the Future 2, you know, just like Marty McFly just steps over all the knocked out guys.
Yeah, it's like doo doo doo.
One of my favorite, and it's such a small little touch, but when he gets on that that platform to chase after the train, like in the first 20 minutes of the movie, you know what I'm talking about? Like the thing where you like pump up
You mean the hand cart?
I can't remember the name. Yeah, like, and then he goes backwards, and then he goes forward, and then like he like gets it going and he does this great little like split in midair and he brings his feet back in and it just cracked me up. I was like, this is so, it's like really graceful, and it's also just kind of one of those like wry kind of like, yep, here we go. But I really love that small little detail. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I've always wanted to get on one of those like hand cart things.
They look fun.
They do look really fun. Yeah, the thing that reminded me of Indiana Jones was like when he is in that Union House and he like is under the table, like kind of watching and seeing what's going on. It just really reminded me.
I really like that scene. Like there's a part where like the lighting is really striking in it on his face. And then there's a really great like cinematic part where there's a hole in the
from the cigar burn.
From the cigar burn, exactly. And he looks through that and sees
his lady.
Yeah.
How'd she get, how was she there? She was just on the train too?
She was kidnapped. They missed her. Yeah. She was in there.
When they stole the train, she was on.
They didn't realize she was in there. And then
she was just, you know, like spoils of war. Ha ha.
Yeah.
We're going to take advantage of her, but in a 1920s way.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
An on-screen 1920s way.
Yes, yes. Which means we will tie her up and like, I don't know, let her out in the rain, I guess, as we twirl our mustaches.
Where's the rope? Well, like getting like...
I was half expecting them to tie her to the railroad tracks, just like one of those oldie-timey like villains. I feel like I'm thinking of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, you're thinking like Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really surprised at this movie and like how modern it was. And I thought it was like beautifully shot. You can tell he really was into trains and just watching him zip around the train and doing these stunts that I thought were, I had to rewind one of them where he gets up and picks up one of the planks off of the rail, off the track. And then he's on the cow catcher and then it's about to run into another pillar that's on the track and he throws it perfectly at the end of the other pillar and flips it off the track perfectly. And it's all in one take. He doesn't like cut away or anything. Yeah. It's just him doing it.
There's a, it seems like there were a lot of things that could have gone wrong.
Oh, yeah, that one, that rail tie was not supposed to like come that close to his face. So like when it, like he throws it and it like whips right by his face and he just falls back.
Okay, I was wondering like, was he trying to make it that close where like, it almost like hits him in the face when it flips up.
But that's how great of a comedian he is. He just like knows like, oh, it's funny if I just like lay back and just like, oh my God, I almost died because I almost really did.
It's all for the bit, man.
Reading behind the scenes on that, like that's one of the parts where he could have died. If he does not pick up that one right on time, like that train's coming. They can't really stop it that quick. Mm-hmm. So he could have just been like killed.
Yeah, I was like wondering like how, like I had to rewatch it, but I was wondering, like, how is he getting out of this? Like, is the train just going to run into that? Like, is that going to run it off the tracks? But yeah, like looking...
It would have.
Yeah, looking up, like, what would have happened. Yeah, the train probably would have run off the tracks and he would have got seriously injured or killed from that.
Sploot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If he wasn't on that cow catcher, which is like the front of the train thing, like which is really cool because I was just like, oh, there's so many bits you can do on that thing.
Yeah. I guess they wanted, or he wanted the actual train from the story. I guess it was, I'm assuming it's still around now, but it was like still around.
He couldn't buy it, yeah.
Well, they got permission for it.
Oh, really?
And they were like, oh, yeah, totally. That makes perfect sense. And then they found out it was a comedy and they're like, no.
Oh, no, we're not doing
screw
it.
Yeah, you. Exactly. Yeah. Oh,
man. There's two types of movies.
Which one do you think this is?
So they're looking down on comedies back then. Jeez.
Yeah, well, at least when it comes to the Civil War, I don't like it's too soon.
What was the Civil War, like 40 years before this?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Okay, this is like us making it. It's like
60 years, so this would be like a World War II comedy for us.
Which we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like that scene and like a bunch of other scenes, he's showing, he's actually doing these things. He's not cutting away. And that was something he was like really proud of and insistent upon for like his gags and stuff was, it's better if you actually see me doing the full thing. I watched Sherlock Jr. after this and it was a lot more gags in that. There's like a scene where he is under one of those water tanks and the water falls onto him and you just see him just getting plowed by this water. And the take goes on and he goes to the ground and then he didn't realize until years later that he like fractured his collarbone doing that.
Oh,
shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. He almost died a couple times.
Yeah.
During
yeah.
just this movie. Like there's plenty of times when you watch, you're like, oh, he could have died easily.
Yeah.
They're like, must have had movie magic back then. It's like, nope, he just got lucky.
No, he's just like doing it and
well, because his most famous bit is the bit of him standing in front of the house and the front of the house just falling off and him just like being in the, like in the window sill, like that part in Aladdin, you know?
Yes. Right? Yeah. That was my first thought.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. But but that scene, like the stunt coordinator said like, oh, don't do this. You will die. You know, like you have like literally like 1-inch margin on each side. If you watch that clip of the house falling down, you can see when it falls down, it hits his left arm and it breaks his arm immediately. And like,
no
he just stays
way.
In character.
Oh, really?
He just stays in character. He just kind of has it swaying a little bit for comedic effect.
Yeah. This is done now.
Yeah. I guess he was suicidal when he did that too. So he didn't care like if he lived or died. So.
Yeah. I remember reading he had like a tough childhood and I think he
grew up during the Great Depression. Yeah. No, he was in his prime during the Great Depression.
He grew up in the 1890s, early 1900s.
Yeah.
I think it was shortly after this, he got kind of screwed by MGM. And then, like, he was, like, a really big star when he was kind of younger. And then he kind of just fell off a little bit.
I think
then,
it was because of this movie, because he took such a gamble on it and invested all this money. And it did poorly because people weren't expecting this type of film. They were ready for all the gags and the Buster Keaton that they had seen in his other works.
It was relatively low key. It's funny. Did you read any of the old reviews for it?
Or no, I didn't. I didn't read it.
They're just like, oh, it's like a boring train chase and it's not very funny. It's like, Jesus.
I was fully engaged in this movie really early on. Yeah, I was surprised because I tried to watch some Chaplin stuff and I watched like some segments of it.
Oh, would you watch a Chaplin?
I watched like some of City Lights and Modern Times.
You should watch just like Gold Rush or The Kid, just like his two famous. Like Gold Rush is pretty.
I mean,
really
those
funny.
Are both on this list too.
Yeah, Gold Rush is funny. Just like he's got that famous potato dance with the forks. Like
like from The Simpsons.
And like, I don't know. There was gags in those that I laughed at, but then like, I don't know, like this was like a full movie to me almost. It was, and I think I really liked Buster Keaton's like understated and subtle emotions that he portrayed in it a lot more.
It's like an old school Mission Impossible movie. It's like they do, it's like everything they do on screen is real. All the people, when you see like just hundreds of people on the screen, you're just like, oh no, those are real people. We can't CGI that. So like they had like tons of extras like that they just brought in.
So they have one part where it's like the Union soldiers marching one way and then they have like,
I mean,
the Confederate soldiers marching another way. And it's just, it's the same extras, but they just changed uniforms and walked the other way.
But it's still amazing to watch. Like the entire screen is just full of people and you're just like, this is an amazing shot.
It's such an ambitious movie. It's so big. How many people are in it and the stunts and you're on, for most of the movie, you're on that train with him and it's always moving and always going. This movie was awesome, I thought.
I guess they found abandoned like railroads or something in Oregon. That's where they shot this movie. Where they just like,
I was wondering.
Yeah, because I'm just like, imagine just like, you know, old timey person. Just, what the hell is this? A movie? I got coal to move over here.
I really enjoyed this movie.
Did you have a favorite shot in this movie or a favorite scene in this movie?
I think it was that him throwing the one pillar at the other pillar. I had to rewind and watch it again. There was a lot of good stuff in this. Yeah, when he was hiding under the table from the Union soldiers, mm-hmm. I thought was great. And he's in there. I even liked the like lightning effect that he had.
That was cool.
For it.
Yeah.
And it just like, yeah, it's just like a frame and it's almost like they just drew a lightning bolt for it.
What part was that?
It was right after they're escaping the house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. When it's like rainy.
Yeah.
There's a bear. I missed the bear the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I missed the bear.
It's like I looked away for a second and then all of a sudden they're in a bear trap and I'm like, well, that seems kind of random.
Oh, yeah,
the bear trap. Now that I saw the bear, I'm like, oh, that's why the bear trap is there because there's bears out there. Yeah. I'm wondering if he was like on set with a real bear or if it was just a dog in a bear costume.
Oh, that looked like a real bear.
Yeah, that was a real bear.
I'm sure that was a real bear.
I wonder if he was just trying to figure out the most inventive way to die on film. Just like, what about bears? I don't know. Yeah. What about a train? I don't know.
Can we get a real bear trap in
here? Yeah, I could tell that he really was into trains watching this. It seemed like a very affectionate towards trains. But yeah, Chase, what was your favorite scene?
Well, I just love that, like, there's great shots where he's just, like, dejected at the beginning of the movie and just, like, sits on the railroad tie. The train starts going and he's mm-hmm. just, like, he's just deadpan and just, like, he's just slouched over and, like, yet he's moving with the train on the on the wheels.
Yeah. His stillness accentuates the train's motion.
Yeah.
Get out of here, former film student.
Get out of here with that film criticism, man.
Yeah,
we're talking
on,
about
man.
Trains.
We're talking about real stuff, like trains in a movie.
I thought of the funniest moment in the movie for me was when the Union general is like, no, the train's not going to be weak enough for you should be fine going over the over
the
bridge.
Bridge is on fire, and he's just like, yeah, you can just go.
Yeah,
on that.
Just go over it.
I just love just like, oh no, that's totally fine, structurally fine. I'm like, are you sure about that?
There's been on a fire for a little bit on this bridge.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the train goes into the ravine, and everybody, and then it really just focuses on him and everybody just kind of looking at him.
Well, he didn't get the train up to 88 miles per hour.
If he was going fast.
That's
enough.
Fast.
Yeah.
For sure.
What about you, Gabby? Did you have a favorite scene from this?
I think I already mentioned it. I really like that handcart scene.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really subtle. Yeah. And I loved all the little details in it that made it really funny. Also, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but like, Buster Keaton got a donk. Like, he's got a nice ass.
Oh, that high-waisted 19, like,
yeah, I was 20s. Just like, I mean, you know, like, donk? He did all his own stuff. Yeah. it's slang for a butt.
It's a donk.
No, not a dong.
That's what I thought you said.
No, he's got a nice.
That's a reference from, like, 2003 really... Crank Anchors right there.
But no, but he really does. I
forgot that existed.
I don't know. I was just like, oh, he's got a really nice butt. And then I was like, well, he did all his own stunts. And I was like, okay, so Buster Keaton is like loops. A low-key hottie, I think.
He's a very striking individual.
He's very striking looking, yeah.
He's a very unique face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Roman.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? Did you have a favorite scene?
I like the whole sequence where, I can't remember, what's the girl's name again?
Annabelle something.
Annabelle,
I think.
It's the love of his life. You don't know it.
I kept Southern looking Belle. At her and I was like, she looks like a Mary Louise, but I don't think that's actually her name.
I like the whole sequence where she's like trying to pilot the general, mm-hmm. and then she keeps on like fucking it up. And there was one quick little part where he grabs her by the throat and starts strangling her, and then he kisses her. I was like, that's love right there.
Yeah. I was like, this is 2019, and we're having this in a movie in 1927. Can't do
that. Yeah, I was a little thrown up, but I watched this movie a couple times, and then he immediately kisses her right after, so it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, so it's chill. Yeah. I mean, he's saving her life, so I think he gets some leeway.
Yeah.
No, you get it. You know, he's mean, but then he's nice later.
He's a softie. Yeah. With a nice butt.
With
that. Can't get
with
over
a
butt.
Great ass.
Great ass.
As Al Pacino would say.
What movie is that from?
Heat.
Oh, okay. That's like the best scene for
it's me. Like the worst scene. It's amazing. Yeah. Why did he just yells that out of nowhere? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you can see in that scene that he's about to say butt, but then he's just like, fuck it, I'm going to go for ass.
I'm going all the way, man. I'm on cocaine ass. Right now.
Sorry, yeah, cocaine.
I just did a hit.
And Hank is there, he's just like, Jesus.
Oh my God.
Can't wear shoes, they make me fall down. That's what I think of every time I think of Hank Azaria.
But yeah, that was my favorite little scene. Although I liked all the iconic ones, like him sitting on the side of the train.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
train coming down.
I just always love the gag of when, like, oh, somebody's chasing us, so we just got to take the stuff in the back of, like,
and
the
car or the train. And we just throw it out.
It's like, oh, gosh.
That was really funny, yeah. Especially because you see, like, the union guys, like, oh, we got to, like, take this off the tracks, and, like, moving as fast as they can to, like, take it off as he's throwing things out of the train. I thought that was pretty funny.
I wonder how many injuries he got on the...
I was wondering that, too. Because
well, he's climbing over all that wood and he's hopping. I wonder if he ever missed.
Yeah.
I remember reading there was a lot of fires that broke out during this movie. They all, like, rushed to...
Put out,
yeah.
Oh, you mean just, like, little brush fires?
Little brush fires that would happen.
I think that was the train track scene where, like, they set the train tracks on fire. I think that started a real fire.
Oh, really?
And then, like, everybody...
It does,
like,
look out of control.
It's like, that shit wouldn't fly today.
Yeah. It's like, well, do we got firefighters on set? It's just like, I think you got to pay for them back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because back then, I think you had to pay for, like, firefighters. Like, if you wanted your house to be protected from firefighters, you had to pay, like, a monthly fee.
It was all volunteer, so no one was getting paid from anybody. Yeah. So they would take their payment from the people who wanted protection.
Well, I think it was, like, private companies, too, if you were, like, in a city or something like that. So, yeah. And then eventually, like, cities are like, no, we should just, like, pay people.
It's kind of a human right to deserve to be saved from fires.
I don't know.
Like, well, especially in cities when, like, fires would, like, we think of the Great Chicago Fire, like, maybe if they had a better fire department.
Or Louisiana when it burned down 4 times.
Where in Louisiana? New Orleans?
Yeah. New Orleans burned down like 3 times. You should know that. You're Southerner.
Yeah. I basically grew up in New Orleans. This is embarrassing for me. But yeah, I did not know
about this.
Why would I know? I just lived there.
You never took the $20 horse carriage ride?
Why would I take a tour for tourists?
To learn about your city that you obviously know nothing about.
I guess I don't. Yeah.
That's like you go into Hawaii, be like, yeah, there's a big
volcano here.
Diamond Head. It's just like, yeah, what's that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it was just this big little thing.
Yeah, it was a thing back in the day.
That's what tourists do.
Yeah. I know very little about the history of where I grew up, but I know a lot about the history of everywhere that I visited.
Yeah.
Never looked into it. I was just too busy hanging out and eating good food, so. Going to
Hawaii. Did they eat in this movie?
I did not see any.
He grabbed a bunch of food when he was, I don't think they showed him eating, I guess, but he grabbed a bunch of food when he was, before he hid under that table.
Could you imagine just the new taste back in the 1920s?
I was wondering about that. I was like, the food back then did not look like
that. We got a potato. No salt.
You just got to eat it.
And it's boiled.
I like them
starchy
raw.
Starchy goodness.
Yeah. Or at least it's better than a microwave baked potato.
You know what? I'm okay with those.
Is that a baked potato?
No. They microwave the potatoes. They don't bake them. They just microwave.
It's a microwave baked potato. It cooks the potato.
It's a radiated potato.
What?
It cooks the potato. It makes it soft.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? In a pinch, it's fine.
I guess. But guess what? If you're eating potato, that's, you know, you got to at least allocate an hour to that.
I don't think I'm ever going to allocate an hour to cooking a potato.
Yeah. Well, guess
never
what?
Done just, that.
Like, let's go downstairs, throw my
potato it's on.
In the oven.
It's on.
Guess what? In an hour, who knows?
It'll be a delicious potato.
That's a great Mitch Hedberg joke.
Yeah.
All right.
That's enough potatoes.
Yeah. We've talked about that far too long.
But I should just say this movie is, I think it's public domain. You can go watch it on YouTube right now. There's different, you can listen to like different music that goes throughout it. I listen to the piano version. I think you guys listened to the orchestral.
I just listened to the Mad Max soundtrack.
Wow, that sounds good. Yeah. I should listen. It syncs up perfectly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking
about. Honestly, that would be great for the chasings.
All of a sudden, you just see guys like, you just see a guy like with a flame guitar. And
yeah, they just cut in scenes from from Fury Road. I want her back.
But yeah, this is like, man, I wonder if this is like the first like action movie. Like really,
it's definitely got to be like one of the biggest. I'm sure there were like, you know, there were like swashbuckling pirate movies, yeah, and probably, stuff before, like, but this is at this scale, I think it was pretty unprecedented.
Maybe the first chase movie? I don't know.
That's probably always a great thing in like these chase movies, and it's like, oh, somebody's on your car or on your train or on your plane. You got to get them off. Get off my plane.
Tired of these people on my plane, yeah. And my train and my automobile.
Wasn't there one scene where like some guy's trying to shoot him, right?
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they. I mean,
oh, he's got a cannon. Yeah, I remember when he had the cannon. Oh, the cannon! I forgot about the cannon on the back of the train. I was like, "Is that a real thing?" I don't think that's a real.
No,
thing.
No, that was right real.
Now. I was thinking like,
that, no, no. I mean, is it a real thing? Like, people just had cannons on the back of trains to shoot at other trains.
So.
That's where Super Mario Brothers got it.
But he actually like was figuring out like the amount of gunpowder to put in there to make it just barely go into the front car, and then to make it shoot like way too far or whatever.
Yeah, like the legend says that he used tweezers to count out the gunpowder.
Yeah.
Was he like counting grains of rice with a toothpick?
Basically, that's,
that seemed like a really modern like action funny sequence where he puts the gun, he puts like way too much gunpowder in there, and then the cannon
like
swerves
down.
Too down where it's gonna just go straight into the car in front of it. But then it perfectly coincides with a turn that the train goes around, and it misses the car ahead of it and almost hits the car they're chasing. I mean, man, that was 100 years ago almost. Where
yeah, it's like choreographed in real trains.
Like, yeah, like he somehow timed it perfectly where it almost hits the car in front of it.
Did they actually shoot, or was it just like...
I think so.
Just, well, I mean, like... He shot it, obviously, but like I'm just wondering if he just like made it like explosion, like, you know, like they set it off someplace where it just like
maybe. I don't know.
We should get it. We should get him here for a podcast, man. See see what his thoughts were.
Should we do a seance?
Yeah, a seance. Yeah.
Summon Buster Keaton. Yes. Tell us your secrets. Oh,
he's
great,
just miming the
Buster.
Whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, he just stares at us. It's like, why?
No, I've seen Sunset Boulevard. You can talk.
Yeah. Yeah, we know.
You got that gravelly voice.
Talk to us. Trying to talk like him. Anyway. I don't know. Do it.
Talk like this. Yeah, because he smokes so much. Like, yeah, so when we did a bit.
Yes, when we did a bit.
You sound like a goblin.
What are you doing?
Join me in the sewers, children. All right, I'm done.
Buster Keaton was a known sewer enthusiast.
Yes. Yes. Also, in addition to trains, he really enjoyed hanging out
children.
In the sewer.
Yeah.
He was the inspiration for Stephen King's It. Little known fact that I'm making up.
Okay.
For comedic purposes.
That lies.
I mean,
I feel like Buster
honestly,
Keaton's ghost is staring
Stephen
at
King
me right now.
He's done a way too much coke where it's just like, yeah, I'm afraid, yeah. Buster Keaton.
Like Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Clowns, wounds, whatever.
Clowns.
Anyways.
I don't remember any of that. But yeah, did you guys have any other things you want to talk about for the general before we get into it?
Get into what?
Well, we have to vote on this movie.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything else to talk about.
Clearly.
I'm just going to do Buster and Keaton impression.
Even though you've never heard his voice.
Nothing, Chase.
Huh? I'm just trying to think when he first tried to like join the army, and mm-hmm. then he tried to tell like his girlfriend, just like, no, they wouldn't accept me. And they're just like... But my dad and brother said you just walked away. It's like, okay, do I have to explain to you like
yeah.
all this stuff?
There was some serious miscommunication in the beginning. Like they weren't telling him why they weren't accepting him, and then also he wasn't telling anybody else that he wasn't just straight up being lazy. Accepted. Yeah, he was just like, no, mm-hmm. I totally want to fight the Union. I love having slaves, but...
I mean, I personally don't have any because I live on a train, but, you know.
Yeah, I really like this movie. And right after I watched Sherlock Jr., which is the only other... Well, he's in Sunset Boulevard, but it's the only other like Buster Keaton movie that's on the list. And I really enjoyed that movie, too. It's much more like his, maybe what he's known for. There's more like visual gags that are filled without. But I really enjoyed this movie.
I mean, are there deeper themes in this movie?
No.
No, I don't know.
There are not. It's a light movie. And
it's
I don't...
like a... Yeah, it's like a light adventure. Like I really,
it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I really get like Indiana Jones types vibes from it.
Where, yeah, Spielberg absolutely yeah. took a lot of notes.
And I tried to research that, but I didn't see anything like specifically for like Indiana Jones.
I would have a hard time believing that he didn't. Just him being such I'm like, sure, a huge film fan.
I'm sure he like influenced something that influenced Spielberg or something. Yeah.
I mean, Indiana Jones kind of has like a. Some like Buster Keaton moments where it's just like, you know, just very deadpan, you know, like when he shoots the guy with the sword fight, you know, in the scene where it's like, oh, okay, just shoot him, you know, just like, cause you can just watch that. That's just a silent movie, like scene.
Yeah. Just like where things just don't quite go right. Where, I don't know, the only thing I can think of off the top of my head is like when he goes to like at Raiders Lost Ark, where he goes to jump the chasm at the beginning. And he doesn't quite make it, and he slips down, but then he grabs the root, and he's able to climb up.
There's some, like, competent bumbling.
Yeah, exactly. that's what I get from Buster Keaton, because he seems like he really knows how to work this train, and he is just darting around it, and seems very capable, but he messes up sometimes.
Well,
and
it's like the beginning of Raiders of the Last Crusade. And Indiana Jones Last Crusade, when, like, you know, with the River Phoenix and on the train, like there's a whole bunch of train gags on there, you know, it's just like, oh man, you got to get away from all these guys who are on your train, you know?
I'm pretty sure a lot of that was heavily inspired by this movie specifically.
I think we've said about all we can say about The General. I think it's time to vote if we think it's one of the 100 greatest movies of all time. And I want a yes or no. And we need 3 yes votes in order to get it into the top 100 for the podcast. Matt, I'm going to start with you. What do you think? you don't have to say yes. You can say no if you want. You want me to come? Let's come back to you.
Yeah, come back to me.
Gabby.
Yes.
Chase.
I have to just go no.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I will say yes.
Yeah, man, I should have gone. Now there's even more pressure.
Yeah, this is it. This is not a binding vote. We can talk about it afterwards, but I just want to hear your vote.
I mean, I'll have to think on it, but I'll probably lean with Chase and go no.
Okay. Wow.
We're splitsies.
Maybe yes. I don't know.
I went into this movie thinking. I almost wanted just to do like all the silent movies together because I kind of felt like they were almost homework for me to do. Then I was like, no, I want to give all the movies their own due. And I sat down and watched this movie and I honestly fell in love with it. I really love this movie and it's definitely one of my favorite movies that I've seen easily in my like top 50, I would say. And I was just really impressed by like the cinematography of it and how it's all put together and the stunt work by Buster Keaton. And even his performance, I think, is really good and subtle and made me laugh. I was expecting kind of just like a jokey movie, like a Chaplin movie or something. But what I got was this kind of like lighthearted adventure of following this guy that was an engineer on a train and he perseveres and he is able to overcome these obstacles. And I became really invested in it, really. I found it to be a captivating movie.
On 2 lists, I have 2 different answers. Because, like, on my personal 100, no. Right. Yeah. But on, like, greatest movies of all time, I'd probably say yes. But somewhere in between, I'm just like, And I probably will watch it again, if only just because it's like so short. It's pretty fast moving, so to speak.
Did any of you guys watch Sherlock Jr.?
No.
Okay.
I do want to, though.
So that's something I'll have to digest for a while.
I think I've seen maybe like 5 or 10 minutes of it when I was just on like YouTube or something like that. But I forget, what was the point of that one? Like he's the detective.
What's the point
right?
of
Mulder? Well, he's Sherlock.
No.
Sherlock Jr. Okay. Jr.
No, so he's like, he works at a cinema and basically he gets like framed for something at the beginning and then he's daydreaming while watching a movie and pretends that he is Sherlock Jr. And it's really awesome how they're able to telegraph that he's like daydreaming, and the cinematography in that's really great as well. It's a lot more like physical gags and stuff when he's like Sherlock. Yeah, that's a lot more of like kind of a funny movie and seeing all of his like physical stunts and stuff.
So what do you think, Gabby?
What did I think of this movie?
Okay, what did you think of the female actress? Just the one in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
Rate her 1 out of 10.
No, I absolutely refuse to.
Hot or not, guys, go.
I'll give her a 3.5.
Honestly, I didn't like her that much. I felt like she was portrayed as very shallow. She didn't want to see him unless he was in uniform. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't love that, but I don't feel like the movie was necessarily about her. I feel like if this movie was redone now, they would add a couple more dimensions to her character. But I also felt like there's only so much you can do in a silent film in terms of, I don't know, like just conveying all these different interpersonal dynamics, especially when the story is not really about that. The story is about train chases.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't love the female character, but I did really enjoy all of the physical comedy, and I think we've talked about it already, but it's really like subtle, it's really well done, and just the deadpan way that Buster Keaton pulls it all off is hilarious, and it felt very sophisticated for a silent film compared to the ones that I've seen. It felt very timeless, it felt like something that, you know, obviously I did watch it today, but there's a lot of silent films that haven't held up well.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one that did hold up really well. And it's really just, it's a great watch. It's really fun.
Yeah. I watched like some of Chaplin's stuff and it's like, yeah, the gag's funny, but then it like goes on for like a really long time. And I'm like, okay, let's just get to the next gag. And
yeah.
Well, I kind of felt like in this movie too, there was like some gags that just like went on for a little bit.
Really?
Like which ones?
Like
which
where
ones?
He's just like getting the wood back on the train, where it's just like, you know, he's just trying to toss it back up and it's just like, oh, one on this side. The thing fell. And just like,
yeah.
It just
I went. Was, yeah. I get that. I was more impressed at how he was able to do that physical gag where it's like, okay, I gotta throw this one just right to where it like knocks. This one's just short and this one's just long and this one just knocks down the three that I somehow got on there before off. And I was just impressed by the physical comedy by it.
I mean, he put his life on the line for this movie, so that's impressive, you know. But then again, I've seen Jackie Chan do that too. Yeah.
Tom Cruise does that.
Tom Cruise, yeah.
I mean,
if Buster Keaton was alive today, I couldn't even imagine what kind of stunts he would do.
Like, boy.
he would look at Tom Cruise, he's like, I'm going to top that.
I want you to strap me to a SpaceX rocket.
He probably would do something insane. He's like, we're going to do a space movie.
Just before it gets out of the atmosphere, I'll launch myself off with my feet and parachute down.
Yeah,
I drop a house on me.
He probably would do that again.
I just think this is such an ambitious movie for the time, and I think it really delivers on that. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's probably in my top like 30 or something. Yeah.
Wow, let's just climb up your list, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. 30. Like it was like 30. I just kind of quickly put it up there, but yeah, somewhere around there.
I mean, it was great for the time, but like I kind of was like bored watching it, and like certain stretches, it's just like
were some parts that were like a little slow. Like
really,
The bear scene, you know.
Yeah, the bear scene, and then when
you just
like,
looked away or something.
Yeah, it was like a flash of lightning, and you saw the bear for a second.
Yeah, bear scene, and then man. Like just a you know, a couple of the train sequences were just kind of like, okay, it's like, I kind of get it, you know? And then maybe like when he's like stuck underneath that table, it's like, I feel like that went on for like a while.
Yeah. It was like, there could have been some more in there. Also, I wanted, you know, I kind of wanted them to get back to the bear. I wanted them to get like just a little mauling, like not like a lot.
It's like a light batting, yeah, perhaps, with of the paws.
That might've been cut out in the theatrical release, but.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, I definitely think this is one of the best movies of all time. But this is the podcast's list, and if we can't like sway anybody's votes, then that's that.
So it's a split.
Yeah,
we're just gonna leave it at a split.
I'm gonna put it at a solid no now for at least the podcast list. But definitely one of the greatest movies of all time. Absolutely a movie that everybody should watch. So then why
wouldn't you vote yes?
Wait, you just said it's one of the... Yeah, I don't understand.
But it's not on my... I have 100 more movies that I would rather watch than this.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've already written my list.
What's like 90?
It's like 90? I don't remember.
Or 100.
I mean, there's
what was...
Something around there. Is it better than Heat?
Wait, no. No, I would put this... I would put this above Heat.
I mean, there's like 100, like there's been like, you know, this is 1927 movie, you know, and then from then to now, like they're like all I those mean, movies that came out, you know.
I think you have to like take into account when this movie came out, like.
Yeah, it is timeless, like you said. So maybe, oh God, no.
I don't know. Like the story is like, it's kind of razor thin, you know, like the story, you know,
yeah,
like his motivations. Like, I don't understand. It's like, okay, he loves his train and he loves his woman, but you don't really see why he loves his woman. You know, it's just like, oh, he loves her.
You don't really see why he loves his love train. Him. Either,
I get why he loves the train.
So it's like Joni loves Chachi, but guess what? Does Chachi love Joni? You know?
That reference is too old for me.
Do you know the Fonz?
Yes, I know it's from Happy Days.
Okay. There's a spinoff show. It's called
Joni. Yes, I know. And it was a terrible. And then, like, Chachi ended up being a weird person. Just like the actor who played him was weird.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, this movie is just.
I know about it through cultural osmosis. Yeah. I just don't care for it.
I think it's like a fun romp, but just like. But if you're going back to movies and you're just like, you want to look for like deeper meanings or themes that go into movies, that which I kind of like, you know, it's like the rewatchability of a movie. You kind of like keep watching it, like you pick up new things. Like, I'm not sure how many new things you can pick up from this movie, you know, just besides like watching the gag, you know, like the sequences and all that stuff. Yeah,
this is the one I'm really going to have to like think on and come back to at like a later date, because I just watched it yesterday. So it's like still pretty fresh, and it's like. It does have a lot of cultural value, but I don't know if that's enough for me to personally put it on my 100 list. I mean,
but it's not your 100 is so list. Great,
you guys. Yeah.
It's the podcast 100 list.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's why we're voting on it.
Yeah.
So I'm letting democracy think take about its course.
The good of the podcast.
Yeah. The good of the people.
Yeah. Well, it's like a movie like WALL-E. Like that's like a silent film movie, like for today, you know. And I would put, you know, it's like you can.
You could put WALL-E above this?
Yes, I would.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Oh, yeah. You don't think...
I'm not saying a lot of it's not inspired by this movie, but I just like it's
I feel like WALL-E, like you can watch it again and you just pick up new things and just like, I feel like his love in that, WALL-E's love in that movie for Eve, like is more like real and organic and like you can really tell it. And like this movie, like... His love for his woman is just like, oh, he just tells you. And it's just like, and I guess it's like the
1920s. Yeah, it's 1920s. They didn't.
But even so, I think this is more about like, this is a spectacle
it's about
movie.
It's about the train heist. And it's
about the tree.
Yeah.
See, now this is the totally man different. His train. Totally different than Heat. It's about the heist.
There's hardly even a heist in Heat. I really people to call that a heist movie. I don't understand that movie.
Okay, I gotta watch Heat now.
It's three times as long as this movie.
That's probably the main reason that I put it above Heat. Is just as far as rewatchability, I could watch this three times in the time that I could watch it.
Wow, I don't know. I think it's a big mistake, but that's okay.
It's something I just gotta think on.
It is dealing with handicaps of just like, you know, no sound, so you can't like the inflection, like the acting, you know.
You're
like,
holding sound against it?
Well, because I'm saying it's working, like that's the handicap it's dealing with. It doesn't have sound, like you.
I think you have to take that into account a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, like, that's the handicap it's dealing with. But it's, like, still great. But I'm just saying it's like dealing with, you know, sound and no color, you know, and like all this stuff.
I thought this movie was beautiful. I thought it was a beautifully shot movie, and there was thought so many of the scenes were striking, and him climbing up on the train and standing on it and looking out at the train they're chasing. I thought it was just awesome.
So I guess the framing of every shot was meant to look like Civil War photos.
Yeah. I read that too. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, I feel like we should have like a whole episode on the philosophy of what we put on the list and why.
That actually would be a great
There's a lot we could, because I feel like we really get into it almost every time we like try to put stuff on the list.
Because,
and it's like, because our criteria just, are so different almost every time.
It's, I don't know. Maybe we can, I was thinking about just like we can reflect it on our 10th or after our 10th one.
Oh, yeah, we should.
When we do that and talk about like maybe we need to rethink what we're,
how
we're doing it.
We should do
it.
That should be our philosophy of the movie.
And we can, I mean, I was even thinking we could like talk about like, hey, did we make any mistakes or like what? Mm-hmm. We can look back at what we did, but I don't know. I really like this movie, but I guess it doesn't make the list.
Well, I'm not,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it's just like 100 movies, and like I feel like I'd watch 100 plus movies before I'd watch this one.
Yeah.
I'd only watch like 20 more movies.
I think that's rude to this movie.
Really, 20 more?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
I really like this movie a lot.
It's like
five star movie for me.
I mean, I love like character driven movies, and just like you see their, like they have to deal with like conflicts in the movie.
Yeah,
and,
he overcomes a lot in this movie. Every obstacle that's in front of him, he overcomes it in some sort of way. There's no dialogue, but like he overcomes it. He's this train handler, and it's funny because he's bumbling sometimes, but he is capable, and he really overcomes. Like there's a train on fire in front of him in the tunnel, and he somehow comes out of that okay, and he's chopping wood on the top of it.
Soundless movies.
Yeah.
I mean,
apologist.
Yeah, so are you saying that no movie that doesn't have dialogue can be on the list?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. When I say handicap, I mean
you can't talk.
No, when I say handicap, I mean it's just like dealing with like modern movie. Like imagine if modern movie came out with like no sound.
The artist.
Just piano. Is it just a piano?
Yeah, the artist. Yeah.
It's just a piano?
Yeah.
I don't know how that
moves. It's like, I haven't seen it either. Because I didn't want to watch a movie with no sound.
I feel like they're talkie apologists, Evan. You and me understand art.
I would be really sad if there's no Buster Keaton movies on our list.
I would be too. I think this is a really great one to include.
He's one of the great pioneers of the genre.
I mean, but like but as in everything, like things get better. Like so he's a pioneer, but then people build
up. We owe so much to him and his stunt work.
I mean, see, but are
you laughing? What's so funny about that?
I'm not saying it's funny. I'm just saying like it's true.
But also using
some of the stuff like that scene where he throws the pillar and hits the other pillar. That's like such an impressive scene that I had to rewind. I don't remember the last time I rewound a movie and had to see it again. Cause I'm like, he actually did that. In other movies now, they're handicapped by like, oh, I can just cut away and just show a piece of wood hitting another piece of wood and then cut back and see it actually happen. But in this movie, he actually does that stuff.
So that's why I'm thinking that we should really discuss the logic, because as far as like things,
I mean,
that
for
really
me, like as far as like movies that I just want to watch, I want to watch this movie. Like I would put it in my top 100. Yeah. So if you don't feel that way, then that's fine. We don't need to put it in there. But
I'm with you, Evan. I feel like it's good to kind of clarify where these opinions are coming from, because like if the reason that you're not putting it, like if the reason that you don't think this movie is worthy of that spot is kind of hinging on there's no dialogue, so therefore no character development.
Yeah,
that
like
seems
what kind of character development are they going to do in a silent
film? It's silent. You're limited. But if you look at all the incredible, like what Evan was saying, the incredible stunts that he does, he's doing that himself. Like he did that thing.
He
can't base
he
it
shows
all
he's worthy
life.
Of her love.
Yeah.
Like, he overcomes all these obstacles.
And I felt like, for a silent movie, I felt like the plot was really complex. Like, there's a lot going on in every shot.
I mean, so do you think his motivation for getting back the train was to win her love? Or
No. He didn't even know she was on the train before.
Okay. He was all about, like, his love of his engine.
She's incidental.
The other great love.
He was just, because he thought they were deserters or whatever that took the train. So he was just trying to get his train back, and...
Because he loves his train.
Yeah.
It's a man and his train. That's the point of the movie. That's
this
great
movie
love
is
here.
Really a love letter to trains.
It
you
really
can tell
is.
That just with how beautifully shot it is. And
I think this should be on our top 100.
You want to weigh in?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, that's why I said this could be like a whole episode as far as, you know, stuff that's pioneering what comes later. Because, like, Birth of a Nation pioneered a lot of what we're talking about, but I would not put that on top 100. It's also, it would be influential and important.
I don't want to talk about other movies that we haven't even watched yet and put on the list. Like, that's a weird
just
argument
just
for me.
Just the criteria. Yeah. Like, nothing specific, but just, like, that criteria. It's like, oh, man, it has all these, like, story beats that a movie should have, and it's the first one to do that. That's the Birth of a Nation. I know you haven't seen it, but you probably don't need to watch it. But but I'm just saying, just as an idea, like, I know a lot of the stuff that he did was real. Once again, that's like Tom Cruise does a lot of real stuff that doesn't make like good movies. But
yeah, it does. Well, no, I mean, maybe I'm just like not connected to the character as much as you were. So, I mean, that's the strength of the movie, that you could feel like so connected to this character and his motivations over 90 years later, 100 years later almost, and seeing why he did all these things. But I just didn't feel that. And maybe like that's something I like in movies that are different. So, I mean, it's great we're arguing about a movie that's 92 years old and like this passionate about. Yeah. I mean, that's how great this movie is. But
I cannot say it's like anywhere near the realm of a bad movie. But like,
I mean, it's really hard for us to do this list because we're all subjective in what we like in a movie. You know.
Yeah, that's why I'm like I really think if like we could each kind of designate our own criteria, because me just listening to the episodes that we've done so far, which is not that many, like I can tell like based on my mood my criteria are different every time, so because I don't have it kind of like set except for just like kind of what I randomly like wrote down on my list, and they're just movies that I would watch like over and over and over again, like if I were like stuck in solitary confinement and could only could only bring like 100 movies with me, like this wouldn't be one of them.
This would be one of them for me.
Well, I think, a great movie is like 12 Monkeys, where it's just like when Bruce Willis is talking about I'm just trying to get to a real important point. Talking about like, you know, when you watch a movie, like when you're a kid, you think it's an amazing movie, but then when you get older, you think the movie's changed, but it's like, no, you've changed. So it's like, we're seeing these movies at a certain point in our lives, and like maybe certain themes or like a certain character like resonate with us at that point in our lives. So we're just coming at a certain point of our lives where we love certain movies or we don't like certain movies. Or like, you know, we love uplifting movies or we more like downtrodden movies or something like that.
We've done, was this the ninth movie we're doing? I think we have one more.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my favorite movie that we've done so far.
I don't know if I call it my favorite, but it's up there. Out of at least the episodes that I've been on.
I mean, so would you characterize this movie as a pure comedy or is it like...
No, it's like, to me, it's like an adventure movie.
Like an adventure comedy movie kind of thing.
It's like an Indiana Jones to me. I picture it as that. Yeah, I don't know. I was just like so entertained by it. And yeah, I don't know. Like I watched some Chaplin stuff and I was like... And for that, to me, like watching that, I was like, yeah, I get why this is like important and why this was so... great at the time, but this movie, I just look at it, I'm like, no, this is just great. But you guys clearly don't feel the same, so that's fine. And you know, yeah, it's not my list, it's not Gabby's list, it's
the podcast
list, so it doesn't make it. No, that's fine.
It is kind of hard when you have to have like consensus or like, you know, more than, you know, 50% like,
yeah, and you know, agreeing on a movie. That's something we might have to look at some point. Is like, you know, is that too harsh of a vote, or do we have to, you know, look at the ones that almost made it? And
maybe we can create some sort of point
maybe
system.
If we make a second list. Then.
Well, you should do something where it's just like if two votes yes, you know, then you know, bring a couple other people in, see, like, watch the movie. Is it, should it go on?
Then we bring in an unbiased fifth member, and
but
we
then we'll gerrymander it so that some people's vote isn't as much as other people.
I don't know. Then we got to go to tribunal, you know, and then like, you know,
that's all right.
Take it to the Supreme movie list.
Supreme movie, please. Supreme movie another, list. Can you tell us if this should be on
the Supreme movie list? That'd be great.
I'll start a second podcast called Supreme Movie List, and it's just my list. But that's, you know, it's fine. It's
it doesn't sound fine.
It's like with
anything, like fans have passionate like disagreements or agreements about shows or TV movies or, you know, movies, you know, about certain things that are make-believe, and like it still brings passion within people who are just like, I love this or I hated this, you know, just like the thing with the Game of Thrones, like this like this past season, I never watched it, but like everyone was just like, it's terrible, but then I loved it you know, like, or like, well, I loved it because of all these other, you know, all the other seasons, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a movie. It's just like, you know, it's like you love it because of certain scenes or or the actors or the cinematography or the story. You know, there's so many different things that go into why you love a movie and why, you know, like why it resonates with you and why you would want to like watch it again. So it's, maybe it's a happy movie you love, you like to watch again and again. Or maybe you like watch a character where it's like, it's more nefarious like motives, like a, like a Daniel Plainview and like There Will Be Blood.
So, just like, so you think Avengers Endgame should be on the list above this?
No.
Because you voted yes for that.
Are you kidding?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. I agree. Well, yeah, that's what I said. There's like, there's a lot to unpack.
I mean, that movie has a lot of things like that are tied into it. It's like, it's a long serial, like 22 other movies you got to watch. So, and it's like basically like the last 12 years of movies, and it's just changed cinema in like all these different ways.
So has The General.
Ooh.
But like you said, we can't compare movies.
What?
Well, like one to one.
Anyways,
yeah,
I don't know.
Now we're going in circles.
This is the movie I felt the most passionate about, but it's not, like I said, it's not my list. It's fine. And it doesn't make the list. But
unfortunately,
I do have one more question for everybody. Is this movie better than Paddington? Matt Molina.
No.
Oh, that's so hard. I feel like they're just such different animals.
This is a yes or no question.
Literally different animals.
Paddington does have a lot of trains in it, too.
Yeah.
Come back to me.
Chase.
No.
This movie's better than Paddington.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Paddington's kind of a love letter to trains, too.
The first one?
Paddington Station.
Paddington Station. Yeah, that's
right. And then the second one, there's a whole train sequence on that one.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Okay. And also the kid loves trains in that movie, too.
That's right. Yeah, he does have them. Yeah, okay.
I'm kind of with you, Evan. I think this is better than Paddington.
I really love this movie.
It's a great one.
I'm sad it's not on the list.
Me too. Some people just don't have taste.
That's all right.
Variety is a spice of life.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Any other thoughts you guys need to say before we close out?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we covered a lot on
a lot of passion for this episode.
I had a different theme.
I can't remember what it is.
But you guys got to watch the same soundtrack to be able to.
I think it was really similar to that.
I felt like the incidental music in this movie was excellent.
It paints your view of the whole movie.
It kept having the train theme that kept playing throughout.
If it were like Avril Lavigne, you'd have a totally different feel about.
Well, Avril Lavigne doesn't do incidental music.
Would you say like Snowpiercer is a love letter to trains too?
No.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Never seen that?
No.
You
don't need to see that movie.
Yeah, I'm okay without seeing it. I heard it was about time travel and there is a train involved.
No, there's no time travel.
No travel whatsoever.
That's what I thought.
It's about
train travels through time. Yeah.
That's the last major train movie I can think of where like trains.
No, man. They made the remake to Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, that's the last one.
That was really bad.
Was it bad?
That bad.
The The newest one was, I did not like that at all.
Murder.
It's fine.
On the Orient
Express.
It was a movie pass movie.
Yeah.
Back when those existed.
Opinions are always skewed when you have the movie pass. Like, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, it was like, I didn't pay for it. It was great.
Yeah, there's a different expectation when you're just like, you're paying money for a movie. Because I did go see Dark Phoenix recently. And that was just...
Yikes, man.
Wow.
I saw that in RPX. And also I saw Godzilla, King of Monsters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well...
I'm going to wait for those to come to streaming.
Boy, you want to talk about some movies like that are just... Woo. You just talk about bad movies.
But yeah, I think that wraps it up for Buster Keaton's The General. I really enjoyed talking to you guys about it. Loved hearing all the different opinions and everything. And I think we're out.